Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Good morning, my friends. Okay, let's talk about this because after Storm Debbie earlier this week, the evidence just keeps mounting that climate change isn't just something to think about or ignore. It's happening all around us. Eco-anxiety is actually a real source of stress for a lot of people. And I'm joined now by a woman who says that her way around it was to take action. Alex Konieczka is the founder of Understory and she's here now to tell us her own story. Good morning.
Hello.
You kind of threw me off guard there when you said that when you started watching Bridget and Eamon and that was your introduction to Ireland and the Irish culture. So I apologise if it set you out on the wrong path. But there's always truth in jest, isn't there? Some things are kind of true. Did you find out?
I did. And I was in college back then. And I have to say, it really motivated me to keep going.
I love it. Tell us where you lived before you moved to Ireland.
Yeah, so I grew up in Poland. I was there till I was about 10 and I came from central Poland, a city called Łódź. Mm-hmm. So I'd say it's a lot of nature. I think my world personally was quite small. There was a meadow outside my house, a river, a forest, a really small community.
Sounds like a Disney movie.
Yes, but there was still concrete. It's just I didn't go out there, you know. I was still very young, so I kind of stuck to what I knew. And it was full of nature. And I didn't have the coast like the Irish people do. Mm-hmm. And are very fortunate. So we are very fortunate. So I actually had a big building that had been painted blue and had fish on it. And that was my version of the sea back then. I haven't seen the sea when I was growing up, but...
So it must have been, so you come here, you go to university here, but it must have been a total culture shock living in a city, new language as well and all of that. So how long was it before you realised that you had also lost your connection with nature?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the connection to your familiar kind of environment. And not to say, I feel like Poland and Ireland has a similar like nature, you know, biodiversity is similar. But the familiarity of place was gone. And I think not being so close to nature, I didn't necessarily go out and seek it. And I didn't really understand that that was something that was missing, some kind of like missing piece of a puzzle, I guess, until years later when I came back to a very biodiverse environment and I was like, oh, wow, this is what it feels like. And I haven't felt this way in a long time.
And what do you mean you haven't felt this way? So what? How did you feel? Was it anxious? Was it a little panicky? Was it a little out of sorts?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a combination. Because as you know, coming into a new culture and country is a big
deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So there's a lot of things to juggle. So it's very hard to isolate. You know, it's hard to differentiate. Is this eco-anxiety? Is this something else? So it was definitely a mix. And I think it definitely was a bit of eco-anxiety. But at the time, I was still quite ignorant to how bad it was.
Okay. So it says here you tried to find that connection again when you were at Trinity.
Yes.
That wasn't your first choice.
Yeah, I said that. I shouldn't have.
I love that. But what did you study there then? What did you study in Trinity?
So I did science. It's the degree is called natural sciences, but I specialised in environmental science.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
And what did you learn while doing that?
Oh, I learned a lot of grim facts. I did learn some practical skills, which is what I went there for. That's really what I wanted to do. But I had to do a lot of maths and chemistry to get there. And that was very hard.
I can imagine. How did a physical illness then focus your mind on what matters to you?
Yeah, that was a very profound experience for me. And it was a very random thing. So I had a septic shock and it was kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. House, the TV show, but
yes.
it was a bit like that. I had maybe 10 doctors around me on my bed in the hospital trying to figure out what happened because I was pretty much paralyzed. I couldn't move. They thought maybe my appendix burst a while ago and I was just very much at the end of the line. What that did was it put me in bed in a hospital and it took me away from my own life. So I had nothing to do but think about myself and my life and reconsider and think like, why did I end up here and what can I do next? So I was bedbound for 2 weeks in the hospital and then for months at home after.
How did septic shock, how did you get that? What was the cause?
They don't know. Actually, they don't know. So sometimes it can happen from if you have a I think celiac disease, but I don't have any of that. They did all the tests. They said it was a random accident. Usually people my age don't get it, but I did. So yeah, they never figured
it out. Comforting, comforting. 10 doctors around your bed just flicking through books.
Yeah.
Just go, random, it's random.
Yeah.
Okay, so that gave you a severe dose of perspective, I'd say.
Definitely. Yeah. I think because I just had to think. I was thinking, I think the biggest shock, honestly, other than the septic shock itself, was that I was really keeping myself back. I was really afraid. I was living full of fear, just holding myself back, basically. And I thought, you know, why was I doing that? It's been a lifetime, 20 years, I think 25 years at the time. And why am I doing that to myself? You know, like there's so much I could do and I just didn't because of fear.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about global warming yesterday, actually. And one message was very evident, is that everybody feels so paralyzed because it's this huge, seems like a huge task at hand. We kind of feel a bit powerless that we can't do anything. But you went and actually did something about this. Can you tell us about Understory? What is it? When did you set it up? Tell us all.
Okay, so Understory is an environmental education and zero waste organization. I set it up, I think, just before, maybe 2019, I think.
Okay.
Before everything kicked off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I set it up because I wanted to put my own skills to good use and bring something different to the world. I felt like when I was in that hospital bed, I thought, you know, I'm not great at certain things, definitely. I really hate public speaking, actually. And
well, it doesn't seem like it. You're doing a pretty good job at the moment.
Yeah, so yeah, there was just a few things. I was like, okay, so I have these skills. What can I do? Which skills do I not have? What am I really bad at? And do I not think I'm going to get better at? So I just figured it out. And I thought, you know what? Like having your own business really allows you to use whatever you've got. Mm-hmm. You can really adapt and, you know, do whatever you think you're good at. So that's what I've done. And I've incorporated my love for the environment and nature and spread it to other people and kind of allow them to experience what I experience in a kind of safe environment where it's more about the support and your own ability and, you know, people feeling empowered at the moment and then taking that away and that feeling of I am enough, I can do this. It's not that overwhelming if you just have the right mindset.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who are your clients? So tell us exactly what you do.
Yeah. So I actually work with everyone. I don't discriminate. So I work with companies. I work with colleges, schools, individuals, community groups. Pretty much everyone who's interested in sustainability.
And so you go in and give them tips and tricks on how to be more sustainable?
So it's actually a bit more than that. I feel like I've gone from doing that when I was younger to now creating the space. So usually it's outside. I usually bring people outside if I can.
Okay.
And I literally practically show them. It's kind of along the lines of experiential learning. So they gain the skills that they can then continue on later. So let's say if it's a solitary bee hotel nest box making thing, like you can learn the woodwork, then you can, you know, the rules to follow to make a real impact. And then you can see the bees in your garden nesting their eggs in there. And you know that it was thanks to you, you know, you've done that. So it's really rewarding.
Do you come up with these ideas and then just pitch to communities and councils and schools and that kind of stuff?
I'd say some of it is that way, yeah. So I feel like I'm pretty easily inspired and I see opportunities and potential for impact everywhere. And it's really the time that I don't have to do it all. So yeah, I need to stay focused. That's really, yeah, what I have to do.
Are you positive about the future?
I am, yeah. I think honestly, Earth and Mother Nature has a tendency of balancing itself. And no matter what, like, I think it would be fine. And I think
it'll be fine, but are we all going to be obliterated as a cross?
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
You have to accept
it. But the Earth will be fine. I'm with you. I'll do it. I'll take the hit. It's amazing to see what you've done. You've really taken on your eco anxiety in a big way. But what options are available to people listening who might be feeling that pressure and people who want to do something good, would you say?
I think people who struggle from eco-anxiety are naturally very empathetic people. I think people who want to see a just and fair world and that is wonderful and we shouldn't stop doing that. But I think it's really important then to look after yourself and be very kind to yourself, because you shouldn't be carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. It's not your role to do that. But you definitely, you know, can follow certain things like making sure you unplug, making sure that you disconnect from the news sometimes. You know, listen to yourself and your body, because I personally can't listen to the news every day. I find it really stressful. Like, I know that's my trigger. And straight away, I'll have anxiety for days, and it will take me days to recover, and I'm not productive. So, yeah, like, listen to yourself and see what works for you. And I think taking action is another big one. So for me, obviously, I love it. I've been doing it for years. Can't stop now. But if you can take action, make it personal to you, make it something that you care about, because then you will keep going, I'm sure. And inspire others as well.
Your friends, your family, your children.
Exactly. Yeah. I think once people see the spark in your eye and the energy you've got for it, like, it's very infectious. So taking action is definitely a big one. And that really does quickly reduce your anxiety, because it's straight away you feel something different than fear. You see the hope, you see happiness, you know. It's beautiful. And then the last thing I'd say is just have confidence. You know, it took me a really profound experience. Please don't experience that yourself. Just think, what is it that you want? Like, what gives you energy? What do you love doing? And just go for it, because you can do it. You can take action. You know, there's nothing really stopping you. There's so many opportunities out there.
And you don't need to get septic shock to find that out. Hopefully,
please don't
get that. I'm sure it's not fun to lie in a bed and wonder what the hell is wrong with me. Alex, thank you so much for coming in today. If you want to find out more, you can go to understory.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.